welcome to Inspiring Women with ADHD. I'm Renee Allen, the host of this podcast. Excited to be here with you today. And thank you. I just have to say thank you to my listeners because I'm really bad at marketing. And when I see that people are listening and downloading my episodes, it makes me happy because I haven't done much besides hit record and publish it and learn all that to help find you. So thank you for listening and spreading the word to your friends or anyone that you've shared with or shared with you. I appreciate that because otherwise I'd be talking to myself, which honestly wouldn't be the first time. But okay, so today we are going to talk about three different kinds of overwhelm. And overwhelm, if we think of when we're overwhelmed in ADHD, a lot of times it's dealing with I can't get myself to do something. Something sounds so daunting, or it's a goal that I want to do, or it's a plan that I had this morning, but it's just so overwhelming, I can't even start. That's one way to feel overwhelmed. That's a common way to think of it with ADHD. But overwhelm can affect your brain. It can affect your body. It can affect both. And there's different reasons for it, and there's different effects of it. And I just thought it'd be fun. I don't know if it's fun for you. I thought it'd be fun to talk about it and break it down. Because when we recognize what's happening, we have more power to be able to do something about it and to help it. And I really wish I brought a hairband because I got my hair, my roots touched up, my hair highlighted today. And I didn't really need her to style it because I'm just going to teach yoga tonight and I'm going to pull it back. But she curled it and it's, I don't know, it's just looking weird on the camera. So anyway, okay, overwhelm. So with overwhelm, there are different things that can happen. And there's a couple different kinds. I'm having a hard time finding my spot here in my notes. So there's overwhelm from mental thoughts, overwhelm that starts in your mind. So you can think of, I have so many thoughts, I have so many ideas, I have so many things to do. It's just overwhelming. I don't know where to start. Or this one thing that I want to do, I'm not even sure how to do it. So I've overwhelmed with that because I don't know what to do. Or I have too many ideas. I've hit this point with my exercise, with my workouts lately, that I have too many conflicting ideas of what I want to do for my workout. And instead of doing one of them, I don't end up doing any of them, even to the point of with my exercise videos or streamed videos or whatever it is I have a lot of them, where I will start a workout and in about 5 minutes think, no, I should do this instead. So I'm overwhelmed by my own problem with making a decision, with the ability to commit. And so different ideas can come in different ways, from not being able to make a decision or from feeling pressure from other people around you, or it can all be within you. You want to work on one thing, but then you look around and the whole project just seems like a mess, like a closet you're going to clean out. Or you want to work on something else, but you see that closet and you think, I should do that. So you're conflicted. I've been ignoring my kitchen lately because I'm not the only one that lives here who can clean it. And often I am the only one who cleans it. I'm not trying to sound like a martyr or anything like that, but I'm trying to tell myself that it's okay to ignore it, that other people in the family are fine ignoring it when they have other things to do that are more important to them. And I can do that too. I can ignore it and I cannot let that overwhelm me that there's something calling at me and saying, do this first. And then it takes up my time and I don't do something else. And that can always wait. So maybe not always, but most of the time it can wait. So yeah, lots of thoughts, your mind racing, a difficult time prioritizing, deciding, making a decision, or figuring out what you're going to do first. I guess prioritizing is decision making, knowing where to start, starting and just feeling like, ah, this is too much, this is too much, and then not keeping up with starting, feeling like things are urgent, like you have to do this right now, but you also have to do that right now. And if you think about the tabs on your computer, when you have 20 tabs across the top of your browser on your computer, that's what is happening often in your mind when you have mental overwhelm, that you open another tab, you open another tab, you open another tab. And that can all be self-driven, or it can be driven by somebody else. It could be somebody coming in and asking you a question, or people who are already around you. Maybe you have children around you and they're asking you things, and they can overwhelm you because you're trying to stay in one spot. And it may not even be physical people. It can be information that you're getting online. I was thinking about this yesterday, about how I have a hard time with pop-ups, or if I'm about to purchase something and I'm on this path to do it, and then I get this pop-up, do you want this extra discount? Spin the wheel, put in your email address. You're having to make a new decision. You've already come to a conclusion on what you're going to buy, and you read the reviews and you decide what to do. And you finally think, okay, I'm going to do this. Is this too much money, or is that okay? And you finally get to that decision, and then they give you another decision to make. And you think, oh, sure, I'd like 15% off. I will give them my email address and check my email. But then they also say, you know, they just say, enter your email to enter. And then you do that. And then they say they want your phone number to get that discount. And I think, no, 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 I get too many spam calls and something else that disrupts my life, or too many texts that are spam. No. And that's when I just say, forget your discount. You're not getting my phone number. Or don't pop up when I'm in the middle of thinking. And then sometimes I X out of the whole purchase because I'm upset with the people who designed that website that thought that that was a good thing to do, because it's not a good thing for my brain. So that is an example, if you can't tell by my wound up voice, of mental overwhelm. And the best way to get out of that is to, like for me in that window, to X out of it. Or when I have all these tabs on my computer and I just go X, 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 and I get rid of them, that can take that away. How do we do that if we're just in a room? Well, you can walk away from the things that you don't want to see. You can't always walk away from the people, but sometimes you can let them know, I need to focus on this for this amount of time. I'll get back, you know, or however you can handle that to be able to prioritize and take care of things, or just let me do this first and then I'll do that. I do this with my grandchildren. They come over quite a bit. And the little phrases that I've taught them is, one, I am not an octopus, which means if they're asking me to do something, I only have two arms. I don't have, does an octopus have 8 arms or 10? There's a squid and there's an octopus. There's a 6 and 8. Does oct mean 8? It's confusing because I think it does mean 8, but October is 10. So how's that working out? Octopus, how many hearts, legs, and brains? Boy, they're giving me a lot. Has 8 appendages. Yeah, so oct means 8. So how does October, if oct means 8, why is October the 10th month? I'll look that up later, unless you're really curious. If oct means 8, why is October the 10th month? Somebody else asked that because me. It was originally the 8th month in the Roman calendar, which only had 10 months and began in March. Did you know that? The Romans later added January and February to the start of the year. Well, I would say who knew, but we know now, right? I don't know who knew, but now we know. So yeah, so I tell them I am not an octopus, which means don't ask me to do other things. I only have 2 arms. I can only do this at once. But the real problem isn't that I don't have enough arms. It's not that I want to do all those things at once. I also can't think in that many directions. And so I've started sharing that with them. Like, I can only do this right now. When I'm done, then you can ask me to do the next thing. And chances are they've learned is if they ask me and I say yes in that moment, okay, I'll do that. I will forget. So yeah, don't give me too many things, because that's overwhelming to our brains to try to store that much information, that many tasks. And you might think, I have so much to do. I just can't think. I just can't think. I just can't think. That's overwhelm. Or your brain just feels maxed out or crowded or overloaded. Those are all forms of overwhelm in the brain. So it's a mental overwhelm because it's with your brain. A physical overwhelm, so the brain is part of the physical body. But if we think of physical in how we feel besides how we think, because we don't really think of how the brain feels. We might think of how our heads feel and how like your head can contract or your shoulders can come in and up when you're stressed out. You got the weight of the world on your shoulders or whatever all those phrases are. My heart hurts, you know, your chest gets tighter. Or when you actually find out some kind of horrible news, you do sink in your chest. You're literally taking in that emotion in your chest, into your lungs. You breathe in a different way. And that is a part of the body that's physically overwhelmed. You can get a clenched jaw. Your teeth, as part of the shoulders coming in, your teeth will come in, your lips will come in. And it's natural to do that even if you're not stressed, because we're kind of gripping onto a lot of things all day long. We're trying to keep track of things. And when I teach a yoga class, even though I'm the teacher, I often do what they're doing. A lot of teachers walk around. I like to do what they're doing. And when I'm laying down, I'm feeling my mouth coming in. And yeah, I'm trying to breathe in and out through my nose. So just to even keep my mouth closed, it's trying to stay together. But even if I let my lips separate, there's still some kind of drawing in and up. And just letting go of that can let go of that physical tightness. And we feel tense, you know, you're tensing up, or you're driving in the car and you get tense. Notice if your shoulders go up. Notice if you're gripping the steering wheel tighter. Have you ever been in a scary, not like, I don't know, whatever kind of driving tenses you up? There's a couple things for me, and someone said once, I have claustrophobia. I don't think I do, but it might be a form of it. And the person who said it was just someone who worked at Disney World. So it's not like I was an expert, but somebody who was talking to me about why I have a hard time staying in line. So, you know, just being in those rooms over and over with no light, and you can't leave, and you just can't stand up, and you got to sit down. And I don't know if you have some of those physical things. That's physical overwhelm. If you have ADHD, if you have the hyperactive, impulsive type of ADHD combined or just that type, you may feel that way when you're standing in line. You might have all this energy building up in your body because your body needs to move. Your body needs some activity. Your brain needs, you know, you just need some kind of stimulation. And it, you might be in line and there you've got music, or you're in traffic and you've got music, but you're sensing that stillness and you're tightening up and you're feeling like you have to move. And sometimes just getting off an exit and driving farther, but where you can keep moving, can help. Or same with being in line. You leave the line and you come back, or you sit down on the floor and you stand back up. Or I don't know if you do those things. I know as adults, we think we're not supposed to do those things, but if you've experienced this in your body, you do feel like you're going crazy. So you start to just weigh out, do I want to go crazy, or do I want to sit down on the ground and not care what people think about me if I sit on the ground? Or I do different yoga poses, you know, not anything fancy, but just standing up, even in line at the grocery store or something, where my hand's on the cart and then one foot goes up behind me. I call it flamingo, but technically the knee on the flamingo bends the other way. I don't know if you ever noticed that. I learned that at Disney World. It bends the other way. It's like it goes back. I don't know if it's a knee on a bird, but anyway. But in my yoga classes, the foot goes behind and I grab onto it. So my other hand's at the shopping cart or at a rail in line somewhere. And that can release that physical overwhelm because something's tightening up, and you can change your situation or you can try to reverse the tightening when you have physical overwhelm. Well, and you can even just be all kind of wound up in your brain, but be physically tired and you're going to feel overwhelmed. You won't be able to think as straight. It's something that's happening in your body. You're physically drained, but you're trying to keep going. And that's a different thing than all this tightness in the body. But that's another physical sensation or experience, is being tired, being sleepy, but still going. At home, we might still go and think, just go to bed. You know, you're getting the signals, just go to bed. I know this is common for women with ADHD. You finally have the house quieter. You can get things done. Maybe people are asleep. or you're finally at a point where you've got enough energy to just, well, I would say you have some momentum. Maybe it's not the same kind of energy, but you've gained some momentum. You're focusing on something and you don't want to stop. I do that sometimes with my laundry. It's like I'm putting stuff away and now I can, you know, like hang up all these clothes. And I think, but it is almost midnight, you know, just end it. But it feels so good to complete that job so I don't have to think about it the next day. But when you're feeling those physical sensations, you need to listen to them because your body's telling you you need to do something different. And sometimes it can happen with headaches, or you just start to feel like this is too much, exhaustion, your breathing changes, rapid breathing, anxiety. That's all physical overwhelm. It's a physical sign in the body of something that's happening in because of another reason. And it's something that you can think of kind of the equal and opposite of I'm feeling tired, and then the opposite is go to sleep. You know, I'm feeling like things are tensing up. I'm going to let that relax. You know, I like to think of like if you're in a pond, have you ever played at a creek or a pond? It could happen in a lake too, where you drop a pebble or throw a pebble or something and it lands in the water and there's all these ripples. And that can, you can get that sensation in your body as you choose that spot in your body where that pebble's landing. And then the ripples are going out and you can literally feel, I don't know if it's literally, physically feel those ripples go out and help that tension relax. And yeah, all those things. Or sometimes you feel a knot in the stomach and you're just kind of holding it. And that's actually a change in your breathing too, is when you feel like you have a gut punch, like, it got you, and you're holding your breath in that moment. And you need to go from the opposite of holding your breath to purposely breathing and breathing a little more slowly. And when you need that physical change, you can create some physical change for yourself. Sometimes you just need to leave your environment, whatever your room you're in or whatever your situation is, and maybe go somewhere else where you can have a private situation, whether it's just in a corner by yourself, a closet, in a bathroom stall, whatever it is. Give yourself some time away from whatever it was you were doing, or away from the people, or go outside if you can. Any of those changes of environment can help. Lying on your back, putting your feet up in the air can be really helpful. It's totally change perspective, but it's also really good for your body, the lymphatic system, circulation, to have your feet up higher. If you have any head injury, don't do that. But other than that, it's fine for most people. So let me go back here. And see if I missed something. I'm going to try to make this bigger so I can see what I'm doing. So in the overwhelm of the body and the overwhelm in the brain, there is an overlap because the body and the brain are connected, right? So the three ways, we've talked about two things that are happening in the body, the mental overwhelm and the physical overwhelm, but the physical overwhelm can be divided, and this is where we get the three. So we had the two, but we split the second one into a third. Is the physical has the emotional overwhelm and the sensory overwhelm. The emotional overwhelm is the impact it has in our bodies. And so we have that physical reaction, but it can also cause problems emotionally. This physical overwhelm is actually an overwhelm in the nervous system. Like the nervous system is changing and we're going from this calm and relaxed, this reset, what do they call it? I teach this all the time with yoga, the parasympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic is the fight or flight, right? And so when we have physical overwhelm, that clenching, that I'm going crazy inside, all of that is a result of the nervous system getting into that fight or flight mode, is feeling all tense, holding your breath when something shocking happens and you go, you know, so you can fight, flight, or freeze, you know, then, and that freezing is the really holding the breath and the running, you know, all of that. So that physical overwhelm, all those things that are happening, and maybe the being tired and stuff might fit into a little bit different. That maybe that's more of the cognitive. But the physical overwhelm can happen because of emotional things or sensory things. So we've got the cognitive overwhelm, the brain, I can't think, that's more the mind and stuff. The emotional thing is how we're processing it. I can't, I'm exhausted, this is stressing me out, this is too much, this is making me angry, this is making me sad, this is making me frustrated, whatever it is, this is making me so excited. I don't know if you get if overwhelmed with excitement. I don't think so, but I could probably think of something if I thought about it long enough. But to the point of overwhelm is, it can be an exhaustion, right? It can be even just finding out too much news in the day. You know, you wake up and you think, I'm going to check social media, and you find out some tragic things that are going on, and you read about it and stuff. And emotionally, it's draining. It's affecting your body. It's overwhelming your system, so you're not able to be in a state to function like you would want to function, right? And sensory overwhelm is another one. I've had whole episodes about sensory overwhelm, that things can be too loud, too bright, or touching us in a way that is just not comfortable. And for me, that has a lot to do with clothing. It can also be just how comfortable you are seated. If you're sitting in some meeting or something, or Zoom meetings can be like this, where you feel like you have to stay upright, you have to be a certain way. And all of a sudden, you're just feeling that in your body, and you're feeling like, I got to stay here. I got to. Maybe that's part of the standing in line too, is the physical is not comfortable. And you're just starting to notice things that you wouldn't notice otherwise. So like if you're in an airplane or something, you're noticing the sound of the small airplane, or the lights are bright, or some fan is blowing on you. I do love flying, but there's a lot to adjust. You know, it's like that fan is too cold and it's right on my head. And you learn that you can do that, or this isn't comfortable. Oh, I can, some of the airlines let you shape the little pillow around your head, or isn't it great when we can make the seat go back 2 inches or whatever it is, and then we have to bring it back up? It's hard. It's hard. But sensory overwhelm, however you're sensing something that is too much, that's sensory overwhelm. It can be in a store. It can be sounds outside, inside. And you might notice something and be able to deal with it. You might not even notice something somebody else notices. One time my daughter and I were traveling, and a man said, we were at the gate. We were at the airport gate. We were eating sandwiches. And it was when we came, you know, every once in a while you have like some inside joke. I asked her, do you want the chicken or turkey? But I said, do you want the chicken or turkey? I said it backwards or something. I had to think about that just to get it wrong. And it just became like a funny little joke. I remember it was in that kind of, in that moment of eating our sandwiches and stuff. And we were getting ready to where they were starting to call group A or whatever. And some man made some comment about a little child, like a toddler who'd been screaming. And he said something like, do we punish the mother or the child or something, which I don't think he should punish either one of them. It's not his place. But when he said that, I thought, oh, and I looked at him and I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. And then my daughter said, oh, that, you know, little child has been upset. I didn't even notice it. I didn't hear it. You know, there's a lot of sounds going on in the airport. Wasn't wearing AirPods or anything like that, but I just didn't even notice. And I think after having 6 kids, I don't notice other kids' sounds very much. I mean, if I'm trying to sleep on a plane, maybe I would, but in a busy airport, I didn't notice. But to that man, it was too much, and it was affecting his thinking to where he was starting to make judgments and he shouldn't have. So you might have a sensory overload that somebody else doesn't have. You might be somewhere and think, I'm going crazy. That light's really bright. I went to a show with my daughter in Atlanta. It was a live show, and they had lights on the stage, and we were close. The lights were just bright. They were blue. And I finally just kind of put my hand like this over my head and thought, if I can just block that light, I'll be okay. I kind of wished I had a hat, but you don't really wear like a baseball hat or something like that to that. But yeah, that was impacting my ability to relax. It was overwhelming to me to the point that I couldn't function normally. Or maybe I'm wearing some clothing and I'm thinking, I want to take these shoes off. It's, you know, it's hurting. That can be a sensory overwhelm or an overload. And when that happens, the opposite, what can you do? Can you adjust whatever your clothing, whatever's happening? If it's your bra strap, can you move it off of your shoulder? Can you do something to change? If you have a watch band on it, I wear an Apple Watch sometimes, but at some point my wrist doesn't want it there anymore and I have to just take it off. In fact, it's probably my yoga bag. I always have to remember because I forget and then it's not charged and it's not like I use it all the time anyway, but I should because it can help with not missing calls and stuff. So anyway, but yeah, that sensory overwhelm. If it's bothering you, can you change? What can you change? Sometimes you might have to leave the room. And I was at church like a month ago and they played a video. They did a video presentation, but the sound, the video wasn't set up to a speaker. It was like they had a microphone to the computer. And the people who were talking, all of a sudden their voices were so screechy. The treble was coming through like crazy. And I looked around like, is anybody else going crazy? Is anybody else going to stand up? Because I'm a mover and shaker, like where if I was more in charge or kind of almost in charge, I'd probably go up there and say, we should change this. But I had absolutely zero in charge of that ability to be in charge of that. And I thought I'd rather instead of do that, I'd wait and see if somebody else does it. And I'll see what I can do to deal with the overwhelm. So first I plugged one ear because I have a good ear and a bad ear, the one ear that hardly works. So I plugged my good ear. It helped a little bit, but I've learned with my bad ear that sometimes, even though I can't hear in that ear, I hear some sounds at different frequencies, not like dog frequency that I think I'm in bed. Some sounds come through differently for me, and that may have been my overwhelm. So eventually I plugged both, but then I had sensory discomfort of my hands going like this to my head for so long. And then the idea discomfort of, are people wondering why she's pushing her ears, you know, or something, you know, like you worry about, you get thoughts in your mind. So then that was overwhelming me with what people might think. And finally, I just thought, I'm going in the other room. I'm leaving. I can't be in here any longer. And I got up and walked out, you know, and even had to deal with that, you know, that rejection sensitive thing. Not like I'm worried about the people in the room, but what are they going to think if I walk out? You know, like so much can go on in our brains. It's crazy and it can all be overwhelming, but removing yourself from a situation can be a really good idea, especially if you find yourself maxing out, especially if you're in traffic or something. You can remove yourself from the situation, even just go find a place to pull over, get a drink of water, something refreshing, who knows what, go to the bathroom. A little bit of a change can make a big difference. So This is one way to define overwhelm, is when the demands of your brain, your emotions, or your nervous system exceed the current capacity to function well, to process what you need to do, what's coming in. So your brain can't process it properly, or your emotional state can't stay regulated. Your nervous system can't calm down. That's overwhelm. And that's when you do something to see if you can calm your nervous system down, see if you can help regulate those emotions. Because if you remember, one of the key symptoms of ADHD is emotional dysregulation, the inability to bring the emotions down to this baseline very easily, or the ability to keep them there, like we're where somebody else might go, oh, that light's a little bright. And then they enjoy the show. Somebody else might go, that light's really bright. That light's really bright. That's, you know, it just keeps going and going. I mean, that's not an emotional regulation, but that's a processing thing. But emotionally, you might think, somebody said something and it hurt my feelings. Somebody else can let it go. Or you might say goodbye to a friend and somebody else says, whoa, I'm going to miss seeing that friend and I'm going to have to stay in touch with her. And then they get in their car and they drive away, where you might emotionally have some attachment for days, for weeks, for months, for who knows how long, because your ability to regulate that in a way that might be balanced may not be easy for you. So there's a lot of things that happen that can get in the way of an experience. Boy, do I know that. So, okay. So the cognitive overwhelm is your brain, your thinking. Too much information, too many tasks, not being able to prioritize, too many ideas, seeing everything as a to-do list. I recognize that in my days of young mothering. I don't know if I had 4 or 5 or 6 kids, but in that house, we moved in when I was almost ready to have my 5th, and we moved out when my youngest, who was the 6th, was 7. So yeah, in those years, I remember thinking, everywhere I look, I see a to-do list. That's a lot. How would you like it? Like everywhere you looked, you literally had pieces of paper that said, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, you need to do that. And you're thinking, I can't do all that stuff. Or you have a boss at work that's just saying you need to do this. And then you're like starting on one thing and then they say, no, you need to do that. And you're like, hey, I can only do so much. You know, like I tell my grandchildren, I can only do so much. I'm not an octopus. Or the other thing is I'm not an owl. Like I can't turn my head all directions, do all these things. You know, like, Marma, didn't you see I need you? No, I can't see. You know, I can't see all that. So I need one for the, I can't think of all things same time. Are there any animals that can do that? I mean, I don't even know that octopus can multitask, or an owl can focus on more than one thing, even though their head turns around. But we have great horned owls where we live here. They're so cool. We had, what were the kinds we had in California? The spotted owl. I love them all. They're just amazing. But okay, cognitive overwhelm, all the brain things. And know that the brain things can, you know, they can be intertwined, but we're just breaking them up. Emotional overwhelm. How you respond emotionally, how your nervous system responds, and how you interpret that emotionally in your being. You can have 10 people in the room experiencing the same thing, and one could just be standing there like, that happened. Someone else could be in tears. Someone else could be upset, angry. Someone else could be laughing inside. You know, like people have different emotional responses. And you have yours, and they're valid. Our bodies are designed to process emotions, and there's good reasons for that. But sometimes it's too intense to manage or process, and it becomes overwhelming. And then the sensory overwhelm, also in the body, also with the nervous system. If you've experienced the sound, too much sound, or high-pitched, or whatever it is, it does affect your nervous system because it becomes all heightened. You might feel like that anxiety, like, going crazy. And yeah, they can overlap, and it can all be too much. So that's why we call it overwhelm, because it's over the top. It's too much. The emotional, too much. Your feelings are bigger than you can handle right now. That is the great thing about crying. Crying is a great way to expel those emotions. Yelling, okay, is a great way to expel it too, but it's not always appropriate, right? And it can hurt people's feelings, but that's why they have those places. I haven't actually been to one, you know, like where you throw bottles and break things, or they say hit a pillow. It is good to let your body move with your emotions. Running is really good for that. If you like running, I did for a short time in my life, and it was great because you are, you know, you're just getting out that energy, and yeah, you can get those emotions out. And yoga does the same thing. I haven't had that happen in my body in a long time, but honestly, I haven't been to other people's classes in a long time. When I'm teaching my own classes, I'm thinking about helping other people, but attending other people's classes or even people in my classes, it is a great way to take emotions and process them. And it's not like you go in there thinking, I'm going to use this class to help me get better at this. Often that just happens because the emotions are stored in your body and they come up. It's letting the body process that in the way that it can also happen on a hike. It can happen in nature. It can happen in different ways. Oh, yeah. So, So here's another one, and this is more cognitive. It could be kind of a subcategory of cognitive overwhelm, is time restraints. Feeling like you don't have enough time. There's not enough time in the day, common phrase. Or I want to get this done, but do I have enough time? Or I, you know, all those things. You're running late. You've packed too many things into one day. Realizing that you have a deadline or a commitment and you forgot until the last minute, or the time blindness gets in the way and you thought something would take this amount of time and it took much longer. All those things can cause stress and overwhelm as well. Feeling like you're behind, that is all in your brain. And it can actually be true, but it's still all in your brain. And just like, you know, there could be 10 people in a room, let's just say three people in a room. Let's not make it 10. But if there could be three people in the room and all three of them find out you're behind, you probably won't finish this. And one person might think, that's all right. I'm just going to keep going and I'll do what I can do. Another person might go, I can't believe I'm late. I can't believe I started this so late. And beat themselves over and over, you know, kind of like beating yourself down with your thoughts of I always do this. Why can't I start earlier? I thought about this a month ago. Why did I save it till now? Or trying to find something. Common thing when you have ADHD is not having your things organized, not knowing where they are, losing things. And then in the moment when you need them, so frustrating not being able to find it. And just thinking, if I had worked on this a month ago, then today I'd be able to find it. If I had spent the time doing that, whenever I do find something now, it's a miracle. I found something today that I wanted for my daughter's bridal shower on Saturday. The other mom, the groom's mom, is planning the bridal shower in Miami. And she wants to do the something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. And she said, I have the something new and the something blue. And wanted to know if you wanted to contribute the something old and something borrowed that you bring for my daughter, for the bride on the wedding day. But at the shower, I have four boxes that are special. She's just done all this planning. I haven't seen any of it yet, but I'm excited to see it. I've had to do very little and it'll be really wonderful and fun. But I don't think she has ADHD. I think she's very high functioning. But anyway, So I've been kind of stressing. It's just been a couple days, but like, what is the thing? Because not only do I have to think of something, I have old things that I could give her. But, you know, she's in her 20s. She's not going to just want to wear anything on her wedding day. She's thought this through. And I don't want to have something that she's going to think like, Mom, you know, that kind of thing. I'll never wear this. Anyway, so I thought of for something old is a handkerchief, you know, like that you can use to wipe your face or your nose or whatever you're crying, your tears, that a friend gave me. It has lots of meaning because a friend gave it to me and I need to reach out to her and find out. I haven't seen this friend in, I would say close to 20 years, but I knew her when this daughter was born. In fact, she came to the hospital after my daughter was born and was visiting with a couple other friends. And my daughter's fingers turned kind of purple, and then I kind of looked, and then they had color again. And then a little bit later, I looked, and her finger—I'm holding her, I'm feeding her, and then her arms, and then her legs. And you know, they say people are like they turn blue. No, it was purple. And I thought, oh my goodness, what's going on here? You know, she was still breathing. But I said, look, she's turning purple. And my friend said, oh my goodness, buzz the nurse. So I, you know, have my bed there. So I buzz the nurse. And this is a little hospital. Granted, there are like three labor and delivery rooms. There's one nurse really close by. It's not like when I had my older kids in LA and there's like 40 babies being born or something. But anyway, this particular friend got up out of her chair and said, I'm going to get the nurse. Like, we don't wait for the buzzing and the coming. I'm going right now. And she told her, she's turning blue. You know, she didn't say purple. She's turning blue. Come on in. And they put her like just right next to me, put oxygen on her face, massaged her hands, told me to massage her. And they just said sometimes, and she was a little early. Sometimes when babies are early, their capillaries can close and they can start like blocking off the oxygen. I'm like, oh my goodness. But anyway, this particular friend told my daughter for years, whenever she'd see her, you know, I was there when you were a baby, and she'd tell her this story. And even now when I bring it up, she's like, oh yeah, she always said that and stuff. So I thought, this is a friend that has known her since she was little. And this friend gave me this handkerchief. It's all white. It has little crocheted edges. I don't know that she crocheted them. I'll ask her. I doubt it. But she hand embroidered, hand stitched my initials. And my initials are close to the same as my daughter's, but she has a different first initial than I do. So I thought, I'm going to give this to her, the something old that she can put in her pocket of her dress. Hopefully it has pockets or her purse on her wedding day. So that's the something old. And then, you know, because when you have ADHD, you often have more ideas. Once you have one good idea, you have another good idea. Then I thought, well, what do I put it in? Yeah, she has a box, but should I put it in something else? And inside the box, well, the same daughter is born on my grandpa's birthday. My grandpa was, she was two when he died. So she doesn't really remember him, but she knows she was born on his birthday. He was born in Romania, came here as a six-year-old on here to the U.S., if you're listening outside the U.S., to Ellis Island. And out of my six kids, she looks the most Romanian. He came from Romania. So I thought, she has his genes and she was born on his birthday. That's really important. So I have a dish towel that my mom gave me that's from Romania, that's hand-stitched from Romania. It has a quote at the top. And I looked up the quote last year, just curiosity. I've had it for a long time. And I thought, you know, you should just use this dish towel. So I've been using it, but I have a million. It's one of my, you know, like, you should collect dish towels. It's one of my obsessions. I have a lot of dish towels. But anyway, the quote, it has a man and a woman and some other things. And I looked for the quote a while ago, and I thought, I think it's about love or marriage. So I looked it up today, and sure enough, it's like a wedding wish about, you know, like, you know, marriage is full of joy and hope and something out of love. I don't know. I phrased it better than that. But so this is my great idea. But I couldn't find the scarf. I couldn't find the handkerchief. And I thought, you know, like, time overwhelm. I thought, you have 2 days before you drive to Miami. You need to be more on top of your life. You need to be able to say, I need to find something and be able to find it immediately. And I'm getting better. And I did find it. So it was in probably the fifth place that I looked. You know how you have like a little in your mind, well, if it's not in this place, it might be in that place. If it's not in that place, it's not in that place. And thankfully, I knew where the Romanian dish towel was. And I found the handkerchief and I ironed them both. I never ironed, but I ironed them. So I am on top of it. But I did have that time overwhelm pressure of, this is something that you need to find today, tomorrow at the very latest. Otherwise, your chance for this is over, like to give the something old something new. This, they're both something old. She can have the dish towel if she'd like to, but it's all in the presentation, right? And showing, you know, like telling the story, you were born on grandpa's birthday, and then the handkerchief, and then the something, and I know I'm doing the oversharing thing, but that's okay. And the something borrowed is going to be, if you're watching on YouTube, it's going to be my grandma's bracelet. My grandma used to wear this bracelet all the time. This is the same grandma of the grandpa that she was born on her birthday. And it's the only one of my four grandparents that my daughter knew, because she, you know, was two when my grandpa died. And my grandma lived another 11 years. And my other two grandparents had died before she was born. So I thought, she knows her for the something borrowed. I'm going to give her this bracelet because it's real gold. She has a really pretty gold. I was thinking she has yellow gold for her ring. She's probably wearing yellow gold. I figure I know she has her necklace and her earrings picked out. And I thought, if I give her one of my bracelets, they're just, you know, made out of beads and stuff. This will be a borrow because I'm not giving it away. It's a lot of gold. and it'll be special. It'll be a way to have both the grandparents with her on her wedding day. And anyway, and I found this too. It was in the second place that I looked. But yeah, that's part of the thing with losing things is most of the time we only look when we need it and we don't have time to find it. I don't know. Maybe sometimes that's not the case, but I mean, I've lost Jamba Juice gift cards and there wasn't a time constraint. I just wanted Jamba Juice, but yeah, I should do another whole episode on why losing things stresses us out so much and why we do it. I think I have given one about forgetfulness. But yeah, and there are different things. You know, we've got, okay, all these different kinds of overwhelm. The cognitive overwhelm, maybe I'll do separate episodes about each one of these. I hate to say that because I always forget later, but I'm planning out my episodes. That I, you know, spontaneity of impulsive ADHD. But that with the time overwhelm, there's also, that's all mental, right? So that's all the cognitive of thinking I don't have enough time. The one person doesn't worry about time, somebody else does. Somebody else is driving somewhere and they're like, I'm going to be late, but it's fine. I'm just going to go. And we don't want to be late all the time. We may not want to be late ever, but do you want to live your life stressed because you're late? And the thinking might be, if I'm not stressed, I won't pressure myself and I won't be on time. You can have both. You can be late and not stressed. You can be on time and be somebody who doesn't get stressed when they're late, because you're going to create all that tension in your body. You're going to go into the situation with some energy. You've seen people like this, right? Where they come in like, you know, off muscle because they're late and they have all this energy. Or maybe I'm just the one who does that. But I've seen them in yoga classes. They come in and I try to tell them, you know, if anyone needs yoga, it's somebody who's late because their morning went a certain way that they didn't plan on, right? Or they're beating themselves up because they lost track of time or have time blindness or whatever. So yeah. So if you find that you're overwhelmed because you are late and you're driving somewhere, do yourself a favor. Don't look at the clock. It's not going to get you there any faster to look at the clock or to be stressed about it. Tell yourself, you did the best you could. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you wasted time. I've done that. I've wasted time. And I think if I had started earlier, if I put on my makeup earlier, this is my own fault. That's okay. But you can still arrive not stressed. You can say, I'm going to remember this. And next time I'm going to do better. I'm going to work on my leaving earlier and not let time stress out my body, not let it ruin my next experience, the place that I'm going. Not let it even ruin where I am right now and make me a driver that maybe might not be as safe because I'm stressed. You know, you want to be relaxed and stuff. Yeah. I think I'm going to stop here. I have no idea how long I've been talking. And I'm thirsty and all those things. Oh, yeah. And I do have to leave for my yoga class. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, we have a lot going on in our lives. We do. And a lot of people that we're responsible for. And even if you're at a time of your life where you're a teenager or you're a college student and you're mostly just responsible for yourself. I mean, there are married college students or college students with children or parents that they're helping support. But we often have a lot to manage. We have a complicated life. We have finances. We have online things. We have people who text us and call us and all these things. And you might feel like you just can't stay on top of it. And it may be true. You may have far more things to manage than you can possibly take care of in one day. Recognizing that can help you push away the overwhelm. Give yourself permission to not do it all because you can't possibly do it all in one day. See how you can flip that around and tell yourself, because I can't do it all today, because I have a never-ending to-do list, I won't get it done today. I may not even get it done this week. I may even move out of this house in 10 years and I've never done it. Have you ever packed up your stuff and you're moving and you think, I've had these things in boxes, I plan to go through them and I never did? Yeah, we do that. We do that sometimes. And that's okay. We're still doing what we can. We're managing what we can and we're letting ourselves know it's okay so that we don't go through life overwhelmed. And I think that's going to be it. Yeah. Overwhelm comes in many sizes and shapes. I just really wanted to explore that because we often think of overwhelm, like how to beat overwhelm. Well, where does your overwhelm come from? And what are the different ways it comes in? And what are the different reasons? How does it affect your body? How does it affect your mind? What can you do to reverse it? Knowing where it is, how it's coming in, can help you either change your mindset about what's happening or just try to, you know, cancel out the tabs or change things in your body, letting go of the stress, all of that. But that's it for today. I know I say that over and over, but it really is. But thank you for being here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will be back. I'm actually going to be out of town. I'm going to this bridal shower. I'm going to record another episode for next week because I think I'm flying back Tuesday, but I bought my ticket separate from the other people, and this is in Arizona. I'm doing back-to-back trips. Bought the ticket separate so that if they offer me to bump it like a day later, I'll take it if it doesn't cost more because I wanted to stay longer to be with my mom, but it costs too much. So I thought if they give me an opportunity to do it for free, I'm just trying to play the system. And it seems like every time I do that, I don't get an offer, but it's close to the 4th of July, so I might. But in the other times, they're like, we'll give you $200 if you give up your seat and postpone your flight. And I don't take it because I don't need it. The crazy random, I don't know if it's randomness of life, but the way that life doesn't always go perfectly, but maybe sometimes that planning ahead will pay off. We'll see. But that's it. So long farewell, and I'll be back. Bye.
Help other women find the show. Rate, review, share with someone you know. Help other women find my show. Rate, review, share with someone you know.
Hurry before you forget.
Open windows, broken shadows. Frozen dreams are left for tomorrow. Without a cause. No time for a pause. Silence of sound has yet been found, but not by me.